because I had applied for a job at St. Kentigan School. That's the school little boys go to before they move on to the college or not. And my dear friend Shirley wrote this hymn for me. Go gently, go lightly. Ooh. So, are you looking? Yes, you are. At St. Kentigan School every year, the Year 8 boys were given a leaving ceremony. And I was always asked to speak. Queen Margaret, when girls left, we handed them over a Bible, but there wasn't any sort of ceremonial thing went on with the boys when they left, so I looked at this hymn that Shirley had written me, and I got in touch with her, and I said, would you mind if I put the words to my lovely hymn on a bookmark and gave it to the lads as they left? So it was called A Sending Prayer, and I handed them out the 4 or 5 years that I was there. I would like to think that some young men, as they now will be, have somewhere kept it, because I think it speaks to life's journey. And so I have my copy, which is a bit faded, on the notice board in my study. And I often go back to it and think, thank you, Shirley. I need to be reminded of the important things when making a life and seeking a faith. We're not going to sing it because we are not that familiar with the tune, and because I thought it would stop us going over time if we didn't sing this one. But we come to the passing of the peace, and I thought, because it's a singing day, with apologies to those who follow the yoga tradition, we might try. I say apologies because I've looked up about the but I haven't tried it to see whether it has the result that it's meant to have, which is to create a wonderful vibration, to dispel all dark thoughts, and to fill us with energy. So we're going to try it. I'll give you the note. We'll do the, it's got 3 syllables, sort of, we'll try that note. And as we do it, we'll turn to the person next to us and smile with our eyes, passing a moment of peace. Let's have a go. Here we go. I'll start off. And now it's Elizabeth's turn, and we've had a bit of a techno prob, nobody's fault really, but we can't see the words to her lovely hymn or hear them. The link didn't come through properly, but.
A Hymn of Promise by Natalie Sleeth. I have been in New Zealand for 6 years this February, and I have been a part of St. Andrew's for 5.5 of those years. For the past 5.5 years, I have welcomed many new songs of worship. However, there is a particular song that I cannot help but feel its absence, and it's the hymn I bring to you today. It's been an absence I hadn't acknowledged until a few weeks ago when Rosemary called it to mind. In the days since, it has knocked, sat at my feet, and demanded my attention. I remember connecting to this hymn of promise, in my teenage years when my great-grandmother passed away and my grandmother selected this song for her funeral. Soon after, I began to notice this hymn would play annually around Easter time, the pastor always placing emphasis on the third and final verse, which speaks to the hope of eternal life that Easter brings. As I and my faith expanded and contracted, grew, and shrunk, this song greeted me again at the funeral of my grandfather, a man who has made an eternal impact on my own life. And since, this song grew deeper roots and a greater meaning. Hymn of Promise begins with a powerful and profound statement. In a bulb, there is a flower. Think of that for a moment. Imagine it. In a bulb, there is a flower. In us, there is potential. The potential for growth, for transformation, for spring after the cold and snow of winter. A spring, a becoming that is often unrevealed until its season. And it's something God alone can see. May your ears and your heart enjoy this hymn this morning. And may the words bring you hope for a season of spring that awaits in you, even if you cannot yet hear the song in your silence, the growth in your waiting. As Rosemary pointed out, we cannot hear the hymn, but I thought I would attempt to sing a little bit of it just to give you a sense of the words. I can guarantee you there's going to be wrong notes, but it gives you an idea of the melody, which I think is so beautiful it's hard not to share. In a bulb there is a flower, in a seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until its season. It's something God alone can see. Thank you.
Grateful for this community, rich in spirit, music, friendship, and thought. And out of this gratitude, we offer the gifts we bring today, money for the church, and food for the hungry. Amen.
I'm just making the association today of the hymn I've chosen with a friend, Alan Goh, who died on the 10th of February. Alan was a church organist, among many things, and had played here. My association with him began in 1993. I bought the first place I'd ever owned in Mount Victoria, a little flat in an old brick building. A Greek family owned the other three flats, and I owned one. The sales agent said to me when I was making some inquiries about it, asking some questions which, you know, troubled me because there seemed to be complications in the place. And he said to me, oh, I couldn't have access to the shed basement area to have a look at it. And he said, the guy who is the guy who's selling this is a strange person. He's the most unusual person I've ever had to deal with. And I thought, oh, well, okay. Subsequently, I made my final offer, and the agent came back and said, well, if you could manage a few more $100, I think you'd get it. And I thought, oh, well, I don't know. I think I'll pay a few more $100, and I did. And I'd been going to a church in Mount Victoria for about 10 years. I turned up on the Sunday, and there was somebody different playing the organ. I looked at the name in the service and it said Alan Goh. That was the name that was on the sale document as the owner, previous owner, who I'd bought from. So I met him then, and he ran a hostel in Mount Victoria called Beethoven House, which was very famous at times. He opened it. It was very inclusive. He opened it to people who came from all over the world, and many, many people remembered it. Anyway, the last couple of years of Alan's life were pretty sad, really. He had a very difficult time, but his funeral was a wonderful celebration of his life. Now, about this hymn, I rather like simple, straightforward words and simple, straightforward, easily sung tunes, especially if they connect with me emotionally. I like this hymn, Look Around You, Can You See, for all those reasons, but it does have a few Greek words for the chorus. I like the Greek words too because they connect me with Christians of the past during 1,000 years of history, in good times as well as very bad times. The words also remind me that the Greek is the language in which the whole of the New Testament is written, and the Greek words have been used in the worship of the Western and the Eastern and also the Coptic Church for over 1,000 years. It is now the season of Lent, when the church is called to the themes of suffering and failure in the gospel story. I am mindful that the Coptic Church in Egypt, which I mentioned, is today one of many Christian churches enduring suffering or severe pressure in majority Islamic and other nations in the world. In the bigger picture, climate change is already causing suffering in the world and is likely to result in unimaginable suffering in the decades ahead. There is no vaccine for climate change. Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, is usually translated as Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. But in a praise context, it might equally be translated as Lord, you are merciful, Christ, you are merciful. And for those uncomfortable with these words, I suggest that you might choose to think of them as meaning, I wish to be merciful. I wish to show mercy. Thank you.
If you have a notice to give, now's the time to come to the front. And while you're doing that, I have two things to say. Firstly, thank you to Mike and Fiona for providing that music. And on behalf of the congregation, I would like to thank everybody who has participated or is still to participate in this service, because you have made it what it is, along with the words and the music. So thank you very much. And one piece of news for those of you who remember David Medland, David who was the centre manager. And for a while, I can't quite believe I did this work because all the skills have gone. I was the admin assistant in the office with, learned an awful lot. And we used to do together the cryptic crossword and the listener. We found that our two heads were very complementary. I'm very good at anagrams. He was good at the clues. And in an hour while having lunch, we could do the cryptic crossword. And we have carried on doing that. I buy the listener, copy it out, and we do it together, because after leaving here, he took up a job, which he's done for the last 4 years, in Miramar with the Salvation Army. But it was a four-year job, so this year he had to look for a new job. And that he has done, and he is now training to be a police communicator. Now, I had to look that up to see exactly what they did. He will be one of the 70 people around New Zealand who receive the 111 call when it's put through to police, to talk to who's ever calling, get the facts, and work out which police dispatcher to send the message to. So he had to go through quite a process. I mean, yesterday, Jim and Maxine and I went out to his new family home, which he has bought in Waikanae. It's a real whānau affair. There's room for everyone, daughters and husbands and alpacas and a swimming pool and room to extend. And so we had a wee celebratory affair to say congratulations to David, and he wanted to thank lots of Salvation Army people and be remembered to St. Andrew's as he takes on this new role, which took quite an application process. So we're very proud of him. And over to you, whoever's giving a notice.
Margaret Rushbrook speaking as Faith in Action Coordinator. I really want to draw your attention to the Climate Change Commission's report, Opportunities for Our Submission, which Barry Keenan has put in the order of service. And he is our submissions person, coordinator for St. Andrews currently, but of course, and he's doing a really good job, but of course he needs help. And so you'll see that there is a request for people who are interested in drawing up this submission from St. Andrews to contact him. It doesn't say that he'd like it as soon as possible. So I'm stressing as soon as possible, please. And apparently Thursday night was very successful. I unfortunately couldn't make it, but about 36 people were there, and I thought, if people know here who was there, you could talk to them over morning tea. Can you just indicate, please? So these are some of the people who were there on Thursday night. Good, good conversation point for morning tea. The second thing I want to talk about is the Social Justice Education Group, which meets after church today. It was going to be a Just Speak person, but unfortunately there was a double booking. So our March speaker, Hannah Sodern, has very kindly brought forward. Oh, here she is here. Welcome. Right. So she's here to talk especially about the importance of Ramadan and Eid. And so if people can please make an effort to be upstairs for that. And Hannah, welcome.
Kia ora tātou, I'm Sue Hurst. I have two notices. One is just a reminder that those who are joining in the Exploring Faith sessions, the session will happen next week after the service, or after morning tea. And the second is that Andrew Matthews came to me recently and asked me about marmalade, as you might. It's not really the season for marmalade, but as we are approaching the season of mists and mellow fruitfulness, it did occur to me that people might be doing preserving. So if anybody is planning to do some preserving and might do some spares, or if anybody has fruit, I'm not promising to process it. If anybody doesn't have fruit but wants to do some preserving or would be willing to do some preserving for the organ fund, please talk to me at morning tea afterwards. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Richard Owen, a member of this congregation. Some exciting news, really, just to remind you all, but it's pretty exciting. Tomorrow our organ returns, and it's pretty exciting for all of us who have been working on it. So South Island Organ Company today are on their way up here with containers. What we've done as part of the sort of social distancing prior to the service, we've started to stack the chairs, and we're working on up the top and down here. So always looking for volunteers to do it. We stack only 5 seats high, but perhaps at the end of the service, if people can bring their chairs to the back of the hall, that'll make it easy for everyone. But that's quite exciting news. And just to give you an idea, what's going to happen is that the floor will be clear, and then the organ parts will be laid out on the floor, and they will all be numbered, and it'll be like putting a jigsaw together. So with regard to that, just a couple of things. Wednesday week on the 10th of March, there will be an open morning. You're all invited to come along between 10 and 12:30 and see what they're actually doing in terms of putting the organ back. And Pam's going to talk a bit more about morning tea in a moment. So that's exciting. Just a couple of things to wrap it up on behalf of Lynn and Bruce. The first public showing, if you like, of our organ will be Easter Sunday. So just to put that in your diaries, that's when you'll hear our new organ playing for the first time. And then finally, as part of a fundraising and a welcome home, we'll be having a concert on the 2nd of May on a Sunday night at 7 o'clock. And just a word on that, we can only take 300 people in the hall, and there are performers who will be with us, there'll be choirs. So when we get advised that the tickets are on sale, I suggest that you get on with it. And on fundraising, we're just $24,000 short of our $500,000 target, so it's been pretty good. And we'll just, hopefully the 2nd of May is our final fundraising thing. So thanks very much. So just if you can sort of get the odd chair back at the back at the end of the service, we very much appreciate it. As Bruce said, you can still sponsor a pie.
I'm Pam Fuller. As Richard said, that open day on the 10th of March, Wednesday the 10th of March, we're going to advertise it out to the public as well as within the church. And the person who's supervising the restoration will actually be here to talk about it and to answer questions. And we thought it would be an opportunity to raise a little bit more money. So we've approached Tea and Chat, Cuppa and Chat, and they're going to give a hand with baking and also making tea and coffee, but we will probably need more than just a small group, and we thought we'd break it down to sort of an hour each, so somebody might like to come 9:30 to 10:30 and help set up, and the next lot serve, and the next lot do a bit more serving and clean up. So I've got a roster here, and I'll have it at morning tea for people to fill in. If you could make a batch of scones or muffins or pikelets or something, or if you'd like to come and put in an hour as well as catch up with what's happening with what you're going to see on the floor of the church.
I'm Jim Cunningham, and just a reminder that for the next 2 Sundays we'll be meeting in the hall.
Here are the prayers of the people. Lord, we praise you. Let everything in your creation sing of your praise. We praise the words that remind us of special times, of your goodness to us, words that have encouraged us, brought us peace and support, and tunes that we have sung at special times in our lives. And here in this past week,
We have been concerned about the issues around us, the unrest and challenges in so many countries around the world at the present time, and we think of Myanmar. And here in our city, the problems and the great needs that must have better planning and that better decisions are made. We do praise and are thankful for the many scientists and professionals who and their work guiding us through the COVID-19 pandemic. The speed that they have worked and the skill that they have used for the good of all and for finding a vaccine. May the vaccine rollout go well in our country. May all those working in this field keep us safe and know that we are thankful. And this morning we were reminded of all those in Auckland who are now in level 3 again, and the risks and the dangers of the COVID epidemic. And from the book, we pray that Katrina Cairns has a good recovery after her admission to hospital and surgery. And dear God, serve us from the terrible destruction of human cults, including the political cult abroad in the USA at the moment. God save us all. And from our leaflet, we think today of the people of the Dominican Republic and Haiti, and the Christian World Service partner organizations working in Haiti and to support income generation, community education, training and strengthening of local organizations to fully engage in the civil society and democracy. We hold all refugees in our hearts. We pray in particular for those detained for many years in Papua New Guinea and Nauru. We give thanks for progress that has been made and pray that their calls for justice might yet find a compassionate response. In New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament, and today we name Rangi Utukiri, Palmerston North, and Tim van der Molen, Waikato. Here in Central Presbytery, we pray for the leaders and the people of the Pacific Island Presbyterian Church in Newtown. And our prayer for St. Andrews, which we say together, renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow the way of Jesus, and new bonds of love with people of other faiths. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, and the desire for beauty and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do, and that what we believe, the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
I've been singing "Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ" with gusto and enthusiasm for 40 plus years. For me, it's associated especially with the 6th Assembly of the World Council of Churches in Vancouver, 1983, where I was singing it in the august company of such global greats as Desmond Tutu. Back in New Zealand, after the World Council of Churches Assembly, I invariably included this hymn in worship services I led as field and publicity officer for Presbyterian Support Services in the Bay of Plenty, because it was one of the very few hymns at that time that had outward-looking faith in action words instead of focusing solely on one's personal relationship with a God out there. It challenged and continues to challenge me with a social responsibility message. Jesus, or the Christ, lives again through me getting out there, using my talents, whether personal skills or money, and using my words of integrity and love to help achieve uplifting actions for the betterment of the earth and the people of the earth. Currently, with the reference to loaves abound, I do link it with how we need to work to reduce inequalities in Aotearoa New Zealand. As verse 3, which we're not singing, starts off, Jesus calls us in, sends us out, bearing fruit in a world of doubt. I feel privileged also to have really experienced that oneness that comes from being in community with other Christians. Locally, nationally, internationally, New Zealand, Canada, USA, Taiwan, Japan, Singapore, Vanuatu, Samoa, I could actually go on. It's especially meaningful for me when this hymn is sung on World Communion Sunday. Singing, "Let us talents and tongues employ," always does something to my insides because of both the words and the Jamaican folk tune. There's a positive, practical, hopeful, joyful vitality. Draws me into a fullness of life with others. It's an invitation to continue to be a part of the Jesus Way team, which has been a grounding and integral part of my whole life. While I sing this in the context of Jesus-centered symbolism, I don't see the message being exclusive to the Jesus Way, but it is my way. So may the words and tune of two verses of Let Us Talents and Tongue Employ speak to us now.
We sing, faith has set us on a journey past the landmarks that we know. I find it increasingly meaningful. Those words continue to uplift and sustain me as they seem to echo my own faith journey. As a young child, those landmarks seemed firm and very secure. I grew up with Bible stories, bedtime prayers, Sunday school. My parents were very involved in our local church and community. I confirmed my baptismal vows when I was 11. 5 or 6 years later, I was a church dropout. Why? Well, perhaps boarding school? The institutional church of the 1950s, fixed liturgy, creeds, dogma. For me, the church had no relevance to life in the here and now and seemed to have lost sight of Jesus of Nazareth. As Shirley wrote, I loved the Christ and left the church. Over those years, I was an Easter Sunday Christian. I loved history. I read a lot. As I read more, I wasn't even happy at saying I was a Christian with how Christians had treated each other through the ages. Those inquisitions, arrests, imprisonments, the torture and burning of heretics. Those years passed, I worked full-time in the university library and was a part-time student. When I was 21, a friend mentioned an ecumenical conference at Lower Hutt, 1960-61. Although I was a church dropout, I was well aware of the ecumenical movement. I thought if Christians could work together, that would be so good. So I decided to go. Once there, I didn't know many people. They all seemed to be Bible class friends or had been on Easter camps. But I enjoyed the guest speakers. One afternoon, I wandered into a meeting at St. Stephen's in Woburn Road. I was a bit shocked at a meeting held in a church, probably my Anglican upbringing. I sat next to a very chatty woman. She seemed to know everybody. She was very friendly and introduced me to a few people, including the chairman, Russell. We said hello, and we said hello on another occasion. And that could have been the end of the story. But several months later, the Presbyterians decided to have a ball as a follow-up to the conference. Russell didn't ask that girl in the library as his first choice. When he did invite her, she said no, he didn't know her name. But he came back and he knew my name. So I went to the ball. And that was the start of our relationship and my growing faith journey. We married in February 1962. Our first daughter was born at the end of that year, followed by our two sons and second daughter. With our four children close together, and Russell's involvement with Bible class and many church meetings, life was full on. Actually, I liked the evenings when Russell was out and the children were in bed, because I could read and listen to music. As our children grew older, I ventured out more into church life at Waitstown, where we lived. And then I discovered a faith tradition that I could relate to with Colin Gibson and Shirley Murray hymns. The liturgy wasn't fixed and repetitive, and there was congregational involvement at all levels. In the 1980s, I enjoyed the four-year education for ministry course, plus the fifth-year option of New Zealand history. I was ordained as an elder, joining my husband, which was great. So finally, my childhood faith has grown into a meaningful and growing one over many years. And I'm now part of that unlikely people in the body knit as one, and faith will lead us into God.
Just before I send you out with a blessing, I want to say thank you very much to Peter Franklin. He and I liaised closely over this service, and he is a blessing. Thank you, Peter. Go gently, no, go singing, go bringing the gifts of the Spirit. Go hopefully searching for things that are true. In living, in loving, whatever befalls you, God keep you, God bless you.